You're listening to SBS News.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Saturday expressed his disappointment over the decision by the West to adopt an $88 per barrel price cap on Russian oil.
Now the world has finished, unfortunately, without serious decisions, the discussion on price caps, that is, on limiting the export price of Russian oil, because it is not a serious decision to set such a limit for Russian prices, which is quite comfortable for the budget of the terrorist state. Russia has already caused huge losses to all countries of the world by the deliberate destabilization of the energy market, and the world cannot decide on its real energy disarmament. This is a weak position, and it is only a matter of time until stronger instruments will have to be used anyway. It is a pity that this time will be lost.
The group of seven nations and Australia joined the European Union on Friday in setting the price cap, a key step as Western sanctions aim to reorder the global oil market to prevent price spikes and starve President Vladimir Putin of funding for his war in Ukraine. Mr. Zelensky says the cap will still allow Russia to receive $147 billion a year.
The logic is obvious. If the price of Russian oil is limited to $60 instead of, for example, $30, which was discussed, in particular, by Poland and the Baltic states, the Russian budget will receive about $100 billion a year. This money will go not only to the war and not only to further sponsorship by Russia of other terrorist regimes and organizations. This money will be used for further destabilization of those countries that are now trying to avoid serious decisions.
This comes as the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine says that over the previous 24 hours, Russian forces launched 5 missiles, 27 airstrikes, and 44 shelling attacks on civilian infrastructure and Ukrainian military positions along the line of contact. According to the announcement by spokesperson Oleksandr Stupin, Russia is continuing its offensive in Ukraine's eastern Donetsk province, targeting Bakhmut and Avdiivka, as well as other areas.
Occupants are focusing their main efforts on conducting offensive actions in the Bakhmut and Avdiivka directions. Objectives near the settlements of Bilohorivka, Yakovlivka, Soldar, Bakhmut, Klishchivka, Kodiumivka, Druzhba, Opetny, Avdiivka, Vodiane, Nevelska, Krasnohorivka, Marinka and Novomykailivka in Donetsk region were shelled with tanks, mortars, cannon and rocket artillery.
Ukraine has been firing back with a number of strikes, shooting down a Russian helicopter and some drones.
During the current day, the aviation of the defense forces conducted 17 strikes on the areas of concentration of personnel, weapons and military equipment and 3 strikes on the positions of the enemy's anti-aircraft missile systems. Over the past day, our warriors shot down an enemy helicopter and 6 Orlan 10 type UAVs.
Meanwhile, a new security architecture in Europe should consider how to address Russian concerns about NATO expanding right to its borders and prepare to give guarantees when Russian President Vladimir Putin agrees to negotiations about ending the war in Ukraine, French President Emmanuel Macron says.
One thing that we have to prepare, and we talked about this with President Biden, is the security architecture in which we would like to live tomorrow. This means that one of the essential points we must address, as President Putin has always said, is the fear that NATO comes to right by its doors and the deployment of weapons that could threaten Russia. That topic will be part of the topics for peace, so we need to prepare what we are ready to do, how we protect our allies and member states, and how to give guarantees to Russia the day it returns to the negotiating table.
In an interview with French TV stations TF1 and LCI, recorded during his state visit to the United States last week, Mr. Macron said Europe needs to prepare for when everyone returns to negotiations.
And so in the coming weeks, we have to help Ukraine to resist and for Ukrainians to stay strong, continue to help in terms of the military, avoid escalation, which means very precisely act to protect the nuclear plants, and prepare the dialogue for the day when everyone returns to the negotiating table.
On the 8th of February, just weeks before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Mr. Putin said at a joint news conference with Mr. Macron in Moscow that Russia would keep trying to obtain answers from the West to its main three security demands: no more NATO enlargement, no missile deployments near its borders, and a scaling back of NATO's military infrastructure in Europe to 1997 levels. The Kremlin says Mr. Putin is open to talks on a possible settlement to the conflict in Ukraine and believes in a diplomatic solution after U.S. President Joe Biden suggested he was prepared to speak to the Russian leader. The United States Defense Secretary has accused Russia of deliberate cruelty in its war on Ukraine. In a defense forum talk in California, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said Moscow was intentionally targeting civilians, and he condemned the deaths of children and destruction of hospitals and schools. He says Mr. Putin's war is not the result of NATO expansion, but rather the cause of it.
A member of the UN Security Council is waging war to deny democracy to more than 43 million people. With deliberate cruelty, Russia is putting civilians and civilian infrastructure in its gun sights. Russian forces have killed thousands of Ukrainian citizens, even as millions more have fled. And Putin's war of choice has given everyone on Earth a preview of a world of tyranny and turmoil that nobody would want to live in.
A UN-appointed investigation team has said it's looking into whether Russia's attacks on critical infrastructure in Ukraine amount to war crimes, with millions of Ukrainians left without heating since early October. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.